This is Ryan with season 2 of 50 States of Mind. I just wanted to say a thank you to everyone that's left us a great review. It really helps us expand to new listeners. If you hadn't had the chance yet, you're in luck. We have a goal over the next month to get 50 new reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you can leave a 5-star review and write down a state that you loved hearing about, someone that helped challenge your preconceived notions about a particular part of the country, it would really help us achieve our goal of getting people to understand America just a little better. Are you ready? Let's go. This is 50 States of Mind. The saga continues, and I'm here with a very, very special guest. What is your name, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Michael DeMarco. I'll say it. Full name. Yeah, I'm calling in from Los Angeles.
Michael, you're one of the few, lucky few people that got to actually experience the 50 States of Mind journey with me. You were with me for what, 3 weeks?
Three and a half.
Give me a rundown. Like, what was that like for you, experiencing different parts of the South, the West, being stuck with me in a car for hours on end? What is that calcified into?
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was probably the best time of 2019.
Aww. It almost was the highlight of your 2019 because, like, your 2019 almost ended there. And I guess mine too, and our lives. I think we should just get into it and tell the story. Like, I need to get it off my chest. I need catharsis because I've been holding this inside of me too long. And you're the only other person that understands. Because I tell people the story and they're like, yeah, I think you might be like dramatizing it a little bit. I'm like, no, I'm not dramatizing. I'm traumatizing. Like, there is no lie in this story except for me lying down in that bush to hide from the serial killer accomplices. But I digress. Should we just jump in and like start telling the story? Just start from the beginning. Tell me what you remember. Let's get this off our chest.
Well, what I remember is we had a long drive the day before in Texas from Austin to El Paso. That's a long haul. That's 12 hours. And the next day we had to go north from El Paso we were eventually going to hit Albuquerque, but that was like almost another 10-hour drive or 12-hour drive we didn't want to do. So I think you were like, let's find a place. And you looked on Airbnb and I was driving and you said, oh, I've got this place. How about we stay at this place called Truth or Consequences? And we were both like, oh my God, that sounds so.
Yeah, it just sounded epic. And I'm like famously cheap. So I'm zooming out in the whole state of New Mexico and it's like, $65 for a night, like $90 for a night. I'm just like, I'd rather probably not stay somewhere. And then I see $20 for one night. I'm like, bargain. I look it up. It looks nice. It's got a private bathroom. It's that guy named Craig's place. And Craig has all 5-star reviews. But like you look at an Airbnb listing and it's usually like a 4.7. No one gives any place 5 stars across the board.
That didn't raise any red flags, though.
Yeah, you're safe at a five star Airbnb, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember we rolled up kind of late, so there's really no time to like change plans at this point, no matter what.
Yeah, we were going through a neighborhood, you know, nicely paved, sort of on the side of this hill that overlooked this very small, apparently quaint city. And we're driving up, and it goes from, like you said, asphalt to gravel. And houses to trailers. And we're like, oh, these trailers look really cute. Had you ever been in a trailer before? I had never been in a trailer before.
No, I've never been in a trailer before.
The first 50 states of mind, you know? Yeah, we're going to try something new. And so we get to the top of the hill and we stop outside and it's the address. It's off of Google Maps is like marked area. So we kind of figure out from the pictures that this is where Craig's house is. And we stop, we get our stuff in the car, we knock on the door, and there's like this like lag where we hear a dog barking, and then we hear just sort of like scuttling around inside. And then like 35 seconds later after we knock, Craig opens the door. And can you describe Craig?
Oh, well, I remember his belly. It was kind of burst out of his shirt that was tucked into some flannel pajama bottoms that have been worn for God knows how many years. And then I also remember his haircut and his just like he just stuck a fork into an electrical socket, kind of sticking up.
Yeah. And I just remember like Craig kind of wasn't, he was like trying to be hospitable, but it was like a person who was on heavy sedatives being hospitable. He was like, oh, hey, where are you guys coming in from? Like, this is my Rottweiler, sweetie. And we're like, yeah, there's this giant dog in there. He's like, I guess I'll show you both to your room. Like, what are there what two of you? There's only one bed. Like, are you guys both sleeping in the same bed? We're like, yeah,
I guess so.
Friends, we're just gonna sleep in this nice full bed that looked big enough in the pictures for two people. And he's like,
two people?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's fine. I'll show you the room and I'll give you guys a pair of keys. And he leads us to the back room of this trailer, which is a bedroom, as promised, with a private bathroom.
The private bathroom didn't have a door. It had a cloth sheet hanging from like a drape that you could sort of pull, couldn't really pull it open or closed. That's basically not a door. At this point, we should have realized that the 25-star reviews couldn't possibly have been legitimate. But I think Sweetie kind of made us feel calmer, and like Craig couldn't possibly be a bad person if he had such a sweet, like chubby, like female Rottweiler named Sweetie, right?
Yeah, that really did put me at ease. Like, if someone's a dog person, I'll give them even if they're like, you know, carrying a knife and brandishing it towards me, I'll be like, well, they have a dog, so like they can't be a murderer or anything. I mean, it just becomes clear that like we can't spend time in this place, even though we're tired, because like if you need to take a shit, like I can't be in the room. Yeah. Like I need to be out there with Craig, but that's also like a danger zone. Like I don't want to talk to him. So basically we were like, we need to get out, go to a bar.
He was watching football, remember? Mm-hmm. And it didn't really help our case when he was like, you guys watch football? And we were like, yeah. So we didn't know anything.
He obviously thought we were gay, basically. We were trying to like make it not seem that way, but like all the evidence was stacked against us. We don't know anything about football. We're not a gay couple. Like, but we're also going to leave your place and come back when you're asleep because we don't want to deal with you.
Mm-hmm. And the last city we'd really spent any time in was Austin. So we weren't really in the state of mind.
And so we basically went up to Craig and we're like, you know, are there any bars in town that we could maybe check out? He's like, well, there's one. There's the Truth or Consequences Brewery.
That sounds great. Like, okay, everything's going to be okay. Let's get out of here.
And I'm like, Michael, grab your valuables and we'll lock them in the car. So we went out and we locked up the car and we're getting ready to go down. And then we see Craig standing there kind of watching us. We're like,
He's kind of been following us the whole time.
Lurking, like being a little clingy. And we're like, oh, should we drive down or should we walk? And he says, oh, you guys should definitely walk.
It's only 4 blocks.
Not a dangerous walk. And I just remember I said, who knows what we're going to get tonight, truth or consequences?
Well, I got to say, when you said that, I laughed. And I don't know if I laughed out loud, but I remember you saying that. It'd be like, what joke are you trying to make here? But then, like, I think I've quickly lost that train of thought because his answer was more like torture or consequences. That's what he said?
Yep.
Truth?
Yep.
Torture or consequences. And we were like, what?
Yeah. You don't throw torture into an interaction with people you don't know very well. Like I can laugh about torture with you. We've known each other for almost 10 years. It's a safe subject. You know, I'm someone that thinks like, you know, nothing should be off limits in comedy, but there are things that should be off limits with your Airbnb host and you.
I agree. Torture. And especially when you have a locked door and he had a copy of the key himself. So really the locked door that he provided us was in name only.
It was a lock in name only. So we walk down the hill towards the town and it's, you know, dark out, but we feel pretty safe. And I get a call from Javier, who we're going to be interviewing in Albuquerque. And we're sort of chatting on the phone and he's like, so where are you guys right now? I'm like, well, we're in Truth or Consequence. He says, oh, don't look up David Parker Ray while you're there. I'm like, who's David Parker Ray? He's like, oh, he's a serial killer. But, you know, he's dead. So don't worry about it. Look it up when you leave. So,
and you tell me, Michael, write down this name, keep a note for when we get on the road tomorrow, and I put it in my reminders on my
DPR.
iPhone.
And so we walk into the True the Consequences Brewery, the only bar in town, and there are three people sitting at the bar. At the distant part of the bar, farthest away from the door, was this very nice young couple who very friendly, inviting faces. And closest to the door, sitting by himself, is a guy we came to know as
Gaunt. Tall, gaunt.
Gaunt. Neo, leering. Like, neo-Nazi.
Neo-Nazi.
We call him Scary Bald Man.
Scary Bald Man.
SBM. And SBM. As soon as we walk in, Scary Bald Man like slowly turns and leers at us like he's been expecting us or something. And we quickly go, we're going to go sit at the end of the bar with the nice people.
Like, you don't know what's about to happen yet, but we already knew, don't sit next to that guy.
You know, I met, you know, hundreds of people on this trip. There was not a single person that I had like a gut reaction that I'm like, this person is scary until this moment. Mm-hmm.
Suddenly you're like, oh, I'm in a small town. What do they say about, you know, what do they say about that? Maybe there's some truth to these, you know, stereotypes. You don't want to believe it, but suddenly, you know, your fears start playing on you, at least until you order your flight of Truth or Consequences craft brew.
Yeah, everything's, you know, give me a beer in my hand, everything's back to normal. And the people that we sat next to were actually really nice. They were just this young super couple nice. That were sort of driving around and checking out the American Southwest. And we're like, so where are you guys staying? And they're like, you know, we're staying in a yurt with a hot spring and, you know, it's got like great views. Where are you guys staying? Did you guys decide to splurge? We're like, no, we're spending $20 staying in a trailer with a guy named Craig in a room with no door in the bathroom, in a trailer at the top of the mountain. We're staying in a room that's locked in name only. Like, we're totally unprotected. Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. And we noticed that Scary Bald Man is like kind of like leaning in and listening to our conversation, which I kind of noticed. I'm like, oh, maybe he's lonely and wants to be a part of the conversation. But hell no, because.
Yeah, like I started kind of feeling a little guilty. You know, there's five people in the bar, four of them are talking. It just didn't feel right. And then you went off to the bathroom.
Yes.
You left for a moment.
One of my friends FaceTimed me randomly, one of my friends from the campaign, and me and my phone went back to the bathroom to have this conversation, and we're chatting for maybe 3 minutes, and I noticed that Scary Bald Man is walking back towards me and towards the bathroom. So I sort of move out of the way as he passes, not really thinking anything of it. And as he passes me, he sort of like leans in towards me and says, "Faggot." I didn't even understand. Is he talking to me? Is he talking to my friend on FaceTime? Like, what? It didn't even feel like it applied to me. I was like, what? There's no way you could be directing that at me. But then I remembered I was wearing my mom's like fuzzy sheepskin coat because I found it in my trunk. And I was like, well, this seems stylish.
It's like not even that. We come from places where like you just wear what you wear, or and you don't think you're getting judged for what you're wearing. You can obviously come into place and you can realize, oh wait, I look like I'm from the city. And we weren't thinking like that.
I don't know what he was thinking, but I don't think this is a problem. I think it's kind of funny for some reason, or I think it's kind of weird. So I go back to the seat and Scary Bald Man is outside smoking a cigarette. We can see him out the window. And I kind of like lean into everyone. I'm like, guys, like, you're never going to guess what just happened. That Scary Bald Man came back towards the bathroom and called me a faggot. Isn't that crazy? Ha ha.
Like a movie. You're like, wait, that guy? And you all turn, all three of us, all four of us, at the same time to look at him out the window smoking a cigarette. And of course, he looks right back and makes direct eye contact with all of us at that moment. He knows you just told us what he said.
It's like set us up for like, he like, knew, it was like, it was all going according to his plan, which that was what weirded me out. And then at that exact moment, we had like ordered our beer flights earlier. Like we each got like six little beer samples and the other people we were with were like drinking full beers. The blue haired 65-year-old bartender woman, funky blue hair, not like old woman, blue hair, came up to us and was like, aren't you guys going to go outside and watch the Super Blood Moon?
So, of course, we just, what do? We leave the beers.
We asked, like, oh, can we go out back and look at it? Because we didn't want to be out near Scary Bald Man. And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. You guys just, like, leave your stuff here. I'll watch it. So we go out with the people. And
can I just, I just got to say, when you told me that he'd called you that, I got really alarmed and, like, freaked out. I mean, this man just looked unhappy.
Unhinged.
Like, he wasn't unhinged as well. And I was kind of like, hey, dude, should we go? Like, I don't want to be on the receiving end of any kind of attack for you or for me. But, like, we're both going to be involved if something goes down, some sort of hate crime. And we still had at least over half of our flight to finish. And I think that was the deciding factor in why we were like, no, let's stay. Let's not be intimidated by this. Let's finish our beers at least.
Listen, correct me if I'm wrong. I have few rules in my life. No, you're exactly right. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, the genre of my life is like a indie comedy. So, like, nothing bad can happen to me, basically. And so I'm like, and I have two rules. Like, first of all, no one can intimidate me and I always have to finish a beer. So I'm like, yeah, we're not leaving. We're staying. Like, this guy is just like a one man bald man show. What can he really do? So, yeah. So, I mean, we go outside, but the urgency with which the bartender was like, you guys need to go out right now and see the Super Blood Moon, didn't match the reality where we look up and the eclipse hadn't even started yet.
It took like 15 minutes for it to start. She said we were 3/4 of the way over with it. Like, we'd missed it. So we had to, you know, rush out for the ending bit. And it hadn't even started.
Yeah, so we're out there for like, now what, we're 20 out there, minutes?
Yeah, at least 20 minutes. Kind of talking with the couple who we discover their edibles have hit it, has kicked in or something. And suddenly they're not so reliable. And at the end of that, they decide to go to their yurt. Kind of, they're getting a little more romantic, nuzzling each other. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's time for them to go. Suddenly, our numbers are down from 4 to 2, though. And the Super Blood Moon, super cool. It was awesome.
Super cool.
Another distraction, though, when you look back at it. Like,
yeah,
we were unfocused. Like, the beauty of nature juxtaposed to, like, the danger of, like, a real-life threat in our midst. So we were distracted. I'm trying to make this poetic.
You're framing the moment perfectly because then we decided to go back inside. We've seen this, you know, wondrous once in a blue moon, no pun intended, event, natural phenomenon. And then we go back inside. We run around the front and we enter the bar again. And Scary Bald Man is there by himself.
And we have to pass him. What does he say to you?
To both of us. Like, yeah. He kind of leans in and says, you guys feeling all right? Which was the first, like, big red flag for me. Because I'm just like, that was like, why wouldn't we be, like, feeling okay?
I love that he calls you a slur. And then that's still not a red flag for you. But once
he asks me a concerned question,
you feeling all right? That's when you're like, something's not right here. Okay. Now, like, my spidey sense is kicking in. It's activated. And we sit down. We kind of answer him, like, yeah, why wouldn't we be? What do you say to that?
Yeah, we just sort of laughed it off. We're like, oh, yeah, the moon is really cool. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, it's a really meek answer. But, like, literally, what do you say when there's no reason to be asking if you're feeling all right? Unless we had really weird looks on our faces, which we might have. So we get down and we sit down. My spidey senses are tingling and I'm all of a sudden hit by this regret for leaving our beers unattended. And I see this one little, you know, 4-ounce glass between the two of us, almost too equidistant to have been placed there by you or me before we left. And it's at the top, like, it's just waiting to be drank. So I'm like, don't drink that one, Ryan. Don't drink that one.
And I remember one of the beers was called Good Juju. And I remember you were like, don't drink that last beer. And I was just like, what? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And you were like, I'm just getting really bad juju.
Bad juju from this good juju. Beers.
I was like, okay. So we sort of like...
I don't generally use the word juju when I'm feeling superstitious. It was because of the name of the beer that we just read earlier. So it was in, you know, floating in my brain and stuff.
It was in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
So we want to leave at this point, but then we notice that Scary Bald Man now has company. He has SBM, yeah, Scary Brunette Man sitting with him. And they're just sort of like talking really loud about how this guy like ripped someone out of money over a car. And they're just talking like they want to get our attention, but we're trying to be like, have nothing to do with it. But we also don't want to drink the drink. So we sort of decide to wait it out for them to leave. And they eventually leave the bar, but stand in front of the bar and they're like smoking cigarettes outside of this big
in front of the truck.
Pickup truck.
The truck.
And it seems like they're waiting for us, the truck.
Yeah, they're not leaving. And we are not. We're like almost done with our beers, but we don't want to leave.
What do we do? So finally, like, we think they're out of earshot because they're outside. And we say to the bartender lady, we're just like, yeah, so do you know that Scary Bald Man by chance? And she's like, yeah, like, I think he buys kegs from us sometimes. He's from like a few towns over, like, has a bar. Like, I've seen him around. Why? I'm just like, yeah, like, he just said something kind of interesting to me.
I was kind of struck by how she brushed it off, because you told her what word he said and she was just like, eh. She wasn't like, if you were like in LA or New York or really any liberal urban center, people would be like, hey, what? They said that to you? Like, that's not, that would change their perspective on this person. But she was like, no, he's like, he's a good guy. He sells kegs. You see, that's what makes a person safe and respectable and trustworthy, you know? He does business.
Yeah, he traffics alcohol. Yeah, that's what bootleggers used to do in the 20s. Yeah, good people. Yeah, then she sort of starts to like kind of push us out. She's like, yeah, we're closing right now, so you need to pay your check. It's 9:47.
I'm not ready to go back to Craig's, really. I'm not in any hurry.
We look outside and Scary Bald Man is gone and the truck is gone. So we feel like, okay,
yeah,
it's probably safer to go to Craig's than to sit outside of this closed bar in the sleepiest downtown I've ever been to.
For sure. And now we can go, because since they're gone, they won't like see whatever direction we take off in. But of course, it's not as how things go.
We feel a lull of safety and then we leave. She shuts the door behind us and locks the door, and suddenly we're outside in this silent downtown.
It feels like a movie, just kind of crossing the block and crossing the street to and looking over our shoulders at, are there any cars? And there aren't. I think as we were passing the first corner of buildings, a truck that looks to be the make and the model and the color kind of speeds down across the street we just past, the one that's in front of the brewery, and it keeps going, but it would have seen us on our path, and it's suddenly like, okay, all of our worst fears are starting to play out.
But I'm also like, I'm still in this, you know, indie comedy that is my life. Like, I'm freaking myself out. We're overreacting, and I think you wanted to go hide on someone's porch, and I was like,
yeah, well, my life is not an indie comedy. Okay, I've never been a fan of horror films. I have an active imagination as an enough, you know? So I think, okay, let's get somewhere where if they come back around, we'll be in some dark area. They won't see us and they'll think we got away. But you don't like that idea.
Well, I don't want to involve anyone else. I don't want to be on someone's porch. Right. Like, everything's kind of dark. Like, I don't want to be in an enclosed space. I'm like, well, at least we'll be out in the open. So I'm just like, Michael, you're being ridiculous. Let's keep walking.
And your next move, correct me if I'm wrong, is to go down through like an alleyway, a dark alleyway. I get it. Nobody owns that. We're not on someone's property. But this isn't like your 4 foot wide alleyway. This is like 2 foot, like less than 2 feet, cinder block wall, and between a cinder block wall and a building. And I'm like, it feels like it felt to me like that scene in Star Wars, the fourth episode, where they're in the trash compactor and the walls are slowly pushing in. That's not where I want to get caught when these headlights flash onto us.
Okay, you're right. I almost let us down the the Death Alley. But then, you know, I'm like, let's come out, let's get a hold of ourselves, and let's start walking forward. And so we start walking forward towards the base of the hill with the road that leads up to Craig's. And as we walk towards it, the truck pulls around the corner of the street and drives towards us. And we kind of freeze. And then the truck pulls on the perpendicular street to us, stops. Scary bald man and scary brunette man both get out of the car, and the driver switches to the passenger seat, and the passenger gets in the back seat of the truck.
Yeah, that was weird. I honestly don't know what that means. Why would they do that?
I've never done it. I think one was going to be the driver, and one was going to be the sniper or the like catcher. Just like one person is probably better at like high stakes driving. So this was suddenly where I was like, I'm no longer in the genre of movie that I think I'm in, and decide to just fucking book it back to Craig's.
You did take off. And I know that you like to think that I just kind of let you go on your own and kind of like abandoned you in this moment. But
You were being a hero. You wanted to maintain the normalcy and show that you were not afraid.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like the fight or flight instincts. Don't they say, like, if you're being stared down by a big animal, like, if you start to run, it's going to go and chase you that much faster. But if you kind of, like, keep eye contact and slowly walk back, kind of put some more distance between you, I think that's what I felt. If they saw us running, then they would book it. And they'd, like, and I'd hear the engine start to roar, and I'd be like, uh-oh. So I let us get out of sight just by passing like around the corner up the next block. And then I started chasing after you. My heart has never, like, I could taste that metallic blood taste in my mouth. And it was only like, I don't know, what, 200 yards that we really had to run, two more blocks. Yeah, it was crazy. Never been more scared in my life. And,
okay, so cut to me hiding in a bush. Just like kind of waiting to see when you're going to be coming up, because I'm like, I've kind of abandoned you. Now I feel bad, but I'm also like safe because I'm hiding in a bush. And so I'm sort of like laying in this bush, and all of a sudden I like hear footsteps and I feel the bush rustle. And then I look up and it's fucking you. And I'm very relieved. We're both like, we got to run. So we start running through the neighborhood of asphalt and houses and trailers and gravel. And as we're like running through the neighborhood, we're hiding in different yards, kind of watching the whereabouts of the truck. And we see the truck come up the hill into the neighborhood. And so we're just like hiding in the darkness of people's bushes, hoping that we're not going to like set off some sort of like motion light or something.
You ever play hide and seek as a kid? But like you would start in one hiding space, and then the seeker would kind of come around and not see you and move off to another room, and then you get out and move, thinking they're not going to go back. That's kind of what this was like, this stopping, hiding, getting up, running a little further. But it was, our lives depended on it for real. You know, like, it was the most intense game of hide and seek I think I'll ever play.
Hopefully. And so we get back to, after like hopping from house to house, from hiding space to hiding space, we get back to Craig's house. We like unlock the door. We come in, he's asleep, the place is dark, we get to the bedroom.
We hear a truck revving up this hill and then kind of into the trailer community on the streets. And like, I think we see it pass one more corner, we can see the headlights, and then it disappears. But we're like, what is happening? What is that? What do we do
now? Like, is Craig a part of this? Like, did he tip off those guys? Like, is this a big operation that we're a part of? Is it a hate crime? Is it a coincidence? Is it in my head? Or like, what's going on here? And so ultimately we need to decide, like, should we stay at Craig's tonight or should we leave?
Yeah, we're like, let's get 2 hours up the road closer to Albuquerque and just like sleep in our car in a, I don't know, in front of a gas station, in a Motel 6's parking lot. Like, what do we do? But not to be intimidated, since we did pay for this place.
I also think that we would have fared worse if we had left, because that truck was still going to be out. And like, what if we got in a situation where that truck was chasing 100%. Us around the desert of New Mexico, which they probably have a lot more experience with than little me.
Yeah. Well, we basically got, I got the one of the worst nights of sleep in my life. Every 30 minutes, I woke and just would open my eyes again, kind of peek out the window, listen to see if you were able to actually sleep. I don't know. We got up at 7 a.m. though, right? And just like left.
No hello to Craig. We just got in the car. We felt like we had escaped. And then the couple the night before had told us that the town used to be called Hot Springs, New Mexico, because of these like hot springs that are natural there. And so they have these beautiful hot springs that you can visit. So we're like, let's get up at 7 when these hot springs open and we'll go visit and spend time there, unwind and leave.
We think maybe this will relax us, I guess. As long as the sun comes up, we're safe. Yeah.
And we have a great time at the hot springs. They're very nice. And actually, I think while we're there, we learned that the reason the town is called Truth or Consequences is because there was a quiz show back in the 50s called Truth or Consequences. And they had this sweepstakes that said whatever town renames themselves Truth or Consequences after this show will come there and will host the finale of one of our seasons. And so they're like, yeah, what else we got going on? Like hot springs? There's a hot spring in Arkansas. Let's make hot springs New Mexico. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. So we have this very relaxing morning at this spa and we get out. We're feeling really good. So we're leaving. We're toweling off. We feel very relaxed. We have a very like nice conversation. And then I look at my phone as we're getting ready to get in the car and I have a phone call from Craig. And here is the voicemail that he left me.
Hey, Ryan, this is Craig. Sorry I missed you guys this morning. Hopefully you guys got a cup of coffee somewhere and a hot tub down there at the River Bend Hot Springs. Anyhow, hope you had a good time. You guys have a good day and enjoy your travels. Safe travels. Bye.
I've never heard that before.
Have you ever had an Airbnb host call you to like check up on you after you leave? How did he get my number?
No. That's such a weird thing to do after not having, in some ways it's a nice thing to do if you don't say goodbye and we like the way we left without seeing anybody. But that's like someone you know and you leave without saying goodbye. You give them a call. Hey, what, are you good? Like I didn't say goodbye. Airbnb, like it's not really necessary, you know? Why did you do that?
You are a service. Like, so we get in the car and we're driving. And before like we get in the car, I noticed that I get a message from Craig on Airbnb too. So he's now double contacted me.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up what it said. He said, here it is. January 21st, 2019. Craig, 10:11 a.m. Ryan, hope you and your friend had a nice stay. You said you are writing a book about your travels through the 50 states / bars. Google the name David Parker Ray, period. Safe travels, comma, Craig.
Oh my God. Even now, I know I've heard that before, but it just hits different a year later. Also, he like knew every place we went. Like he knew, you know, of course the bar, but he knew kind of like we were at the hot springs the next morning. Like we thought we were safe at that point, but if he wanted to go looking for us, he would have found us there.
I'm on Craig's Airbnb page right now. I'm looking at it and just an update. He is at a 4.82 star rating. He is now a super host and it is still $20 a night. So all listeners, back. You can go find Craig's listing on Airbnb, see for yourself. But I also just want to point out this story does not end here. It actually gets a lot worse.
We haven't even talked about David Parker Ray yet. Well, let's get into that. We are on our way out of Truth or Consequences, and we see this sign, you know, Elephant Butte State Park. So we think, oh, we heard something about this. Let's go. Let's go and check it out. And it's kind of this dried up lake, not very impressive, but we decided to take your beautiful Prius. What's your Prius's name?
Oh, Belinda. Belinda.
Belinda. Out onto the sandy dunes, the sandy flats, I should say, of the state park. And, well, of course, what should happen,
We get stuck. Okay, so it's sort of more of like a gradual thing. So it's like it was a an asphalt road, and then it was a little like gravelly, and then we see a car out on the beach. And it was a Prius, so we were just like, oh, it must be okay to do. So we start driving, and then all of a sudden it seems like a really bad idea. And I'm like, we're going to get stuck. We're going to get stuck. You're like, no, just keep going fast, keep going fast. I'm like, oh, okay. We start, and we see that there is a road maybe like 200, 300 yards away that we could make. But as we're heading towards the road to get out of there, our car gets stuck in the sand.
Stuck. Yeah, and some like tire tracks that looked like other people had been through. So I thought if we go on there, it's more compact. We just got to gun it. But it didn't work out like I imagined it. And yes, we got stuck. And I don't know, what did we say at that point? We were just like, let us get rid of this place. Get us out of here.
Well, you're being polite. I had a mental breakdown. I had a complete mental breakdown. And I got out of the car and I'm just like, why did we do this? You're like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We can call a tow truck. I'm like, a tow truck? Who do you think's going to show up in the truck, Michael?
It did feel like if we called for help, like the one guy in town who tows trucks also happens to sell kegs to bars. That's just how it works, right?
It felt like in a series of unfortunate events, like whenever the kids are in trouble, the person they call that shows up ends up being Count Olaf. It felt like it was going to be like that. Yes,
that's perfect. Yeah, so we kind of tried everything we could, you know, pushing, wiggling, reversing. But then, the way I know you like to recall it, Ryan, like out of a Prius commercial, that small Prius that we'd seen out on the horizon can tell that, you know, we haven't moved. And they come in a wide arc right up to us. And they say, you know, it happened to us too. And I don't know, some young guys. And they had a shovel that made it easier. And the three of us pushed while Ryan put the pedal to the metal. And we got out. And it was a beautiful moment of Prius teamwork.
A true moment of real life Deus Ex Machina, where just like it was a golden Prius, I remember, and these guys were just like young, chill guys. And I still remember the feeling of like driving and driving and suddenly being free and heading towards that gravel road. And then you caught up to me, got in the car, we drove away in triumph into the sunset of the desert, and we're on the highway, and we've officially escaped Truth and Consequences.
And then okay, we've escaped. Let's look it up. Who is David Parker Ray? It was actually it is the scariest thing I've ever lived through, where I felt like this is danger, acute danger from another person.
So do we want to get into who David Parker Ray is?
Please read some of that Wikipedia.
So I'm looking, I just Googled him right now, and this is what we saw. It's his Google profile says, David Parker Ray, also known as the Toy Box Killer, was an American kidnapper, torturer or consequences, and suspected serial killer. So some fun facts about David Parker Ray. I've compiled a list. David Parker Ray was arrested in 2001 for drugging, kidnapping, raping, torturing, and murdering over 60 people.
Mm.
Comments? Anything to say about that?
It's a lot of people.
You're too traumatized.
He's prolific. I just looked it up on Google too, and like there is a FBI.gov website where are there images of items and artifacts in his case, pieces of jewelry, and it's hitting a little too close to home.
All right, number two. David Parker Ray was known as the Toy Box Killer because he did his torturing in a trailer.
Interesting
coincidence. Number three. This trailer was located in Elephant Butte.
State Park. We didn't know that until after we...
No.
Until we were literally driving away from Elephant Butte.
Another fun fact, David Parker Ray liked to have mirrors in his trailer so his victims could see themselves being tortured. I'll leave that comment be. Number five, David Parker Ray's daughter, Glenda Jean, would drug people's beers so her father could kidnap them.
Yeah. Where did they do that drugging at? Where did they do that?
Oh, Michael, I think it might have been the local bar.
The only one that ever existed in that town?
Shrug the face emoji, like. And this girl that you know would drug people, she only served 2.5 years in prison.
Why did people that were involved get released early? Longer.
We are getting there. That is the crux of the issue. So number seven, David Parker Ray had other accomplices, including girlfriends, law enforcement, and local bartenders.
No way.
Look it up. Anyone who's listening who's skeptical, go to Wikipedia right now. These are documented facts, people. Number eight, and this is what you're alluding to. Many of these people were not caught or got off on plea deals. So basically, all these people who were accomplices of David Parker Ray, and there were like not one, two, we're talking like tens, 20s of them. They basically turned the guy in exchange for immunity. So that means that when David Parker Ray died in 2002, the mastermind is no longer with us. Many of his accomplices are at large today.
They're probably pretty close to truth or consequences, if not still living there today. Maybe two towns over, you know, maybe a couple towns over selling kegs.
Selling some kegs, waiting some tables at a bar. I don't know. Maybe even being an Airbnb host. And the last fact that really just drives us all home is the bodies of David Parker Ray and company's victims. He disposed of them in an abandoned mine next to a little place called Elephant Butte State Park, less than half a mile from where our Prius Belinda was marooned. And that's why I will never go back to New Mexico.
It pretty much overshadows everything else. Yeah. I'll never forget that. Never forget it.
It is a tie that binds us for life.
For life. They should change the name back to Hot Springs, New Mexico.
I just want to throw something that I'm seeing on Wikipedia right here, because I wanted there to be proof. So there was a woman who her name was Kelly Garrett, and she had gotten in a fight with her husband and decided to spend the night in Truth or Consequences playing pool with her friends. And Ray's daughter, Jessie, took her to the saloon in Truth or Consequences and drugged the beer she was drinking. This is on literal Wikipedia, not a gin and tonic, whatever. It has to be the same bar because they only serve beer. She managed to make it to the parking lot where she was hit behind, knocking her unconscious. So I think it's to like slow you down and make you easier to catch. He took her to his trailer and attached a dog collar and a leash. And he slashed her throat open and he dumped her on the side of the road.
But she didn't die.
But then she went to a clinic, yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
Get her on the show.
Yeah, she was interviewed on Cold Case Files about her ordeal.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. I can't revisit this. We're putting nails in the coffin of this now. Why would I waste a good opportunity to like prove? Because every time I tell someone the story, they're like, that's not true. I'm like, it's fucking true.
It's all true.
Michael, I think I'm too emotionally disturbed to, you know, continue with this. Is there anything else you want to say about the state of New Mexico, about the toy box killer, about our experience in Truth or Consequences?
I know that being an Airbnb host is kind of popular these days, and I just can't implore you enough. Don't be intimidated to leave a negative review like we were. I think we debated on the ride up to Albuquerque. Do we leave a negative review? Do we leave a positive review? Do we leave a positive review to make him think, you know, to kind of like do like some reverse psychology on him? Like, I think ultimately we did.
I actually have the review right here, right now. I tried to put some coded language in there. I did. I'm looking at it right now. It says, okay, here it is. Nice for an overnight stop, period. My friend and I were comfortable in the room, and Craig have some local tips and history on the town. No period.
Sounds just like you.
It sounds like I'm being held at gunpoint.
Oh man.
Michael, it was a pleasure, and I can't wait to do it again somewhere besides New Mexico, because I'll never go back.
I can't thank you enough for bringing me on the trip that nearly killed me.
Thanks for listening. If you have the time, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to engage with us on social media, we are 50 States of Mind on Facebook and Instagram, and 50 States Pod on Twitter. Special thanks to Bright Moments for the theme music and our entire team for putting in so much hard work. See you next time.